Welcome to the Future Forward podcast, an unusual tech dialogue brought to you by Mastar City. And I'm Steve Severance, Director of Growth at Mastar City, a world-class innovation hub and pioneering sustainable urban community in Abu Dhabi. And this episode is going to be a little different because, as you know, usually we've been talking to people around the world, and usually I have an amazing, funny, smart co-host with me, Lucy. And today I'm all by myself because today I didn't get on an airplane. Today I drove down here to the Mubadala Recording Studios, and I'm here with Ahmed Ali Awan, the Deputy CEO of Hub 71. And Hub 71 is dedicated to, it's an Abu Dhabi government initiative dedicated to bringing startups and providing them the support that they need to really thrive right here in Abu Dhabi. And I think everyone knows what the UAE does for the tech ecosystem and for innovation and for business in general in this region. But it's just been reported that the UAE is the largest source of funding for startups and venture capital in the Middle East and North Africa. So Ahmed, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Steve. Great to be here.
I think you've seen in the past few years a real sea change in the UAE in general and Abu Dhabi specifically in the way we look at startups, in the way we look at innovation, the way we look at business in general, and seeing how in the past I think we were happy to have the big companies. And obviously oil and gas was been a part of Abu Dhabi for, you know, since its economic growth, but also tourism, trade, commerce, and being a regional headquarters here. But why don't you tell us a little bit about the changes that you've seen that are really supporting the innovation and startup culture here?
Yeah, startup was just, you know, appreciating how great the Abu Dhabi and the UAE is in terms of just the enabling environment for just businesses to set up, right? It's just so easy for any company here to establish and, you know, grow its business and leverage the UAE and Abu Dhabi as a geo-economic hub for it to scale and grow. Now comes talking about technology and innovation, right? And identifying different elements, enablers that would support that journey. So when we set out to establish Hub 71 back in 2019, that was the thinking. It's like, well, you know, we already have a lot of great facets that exist out of Abu Dhabi. How can we bring it together? So what we set out to do is get on a mission to position Abu Dhabi as a global tech hub, you know, compete with any tech hub that exists out there, to create an environment that really allows tech companies to grow and scale. What was fundamental and continues to be key to building that technology sector, the innovation sector, and having it contribute to the economic factor of Abu Dhabi and the UAE is the community you're building. A founder life is, and you've seen this through, you know, different startups, companies you've worked with. It is a tough life. It's a very lonely journey that these founders go through. So when you build out this community and you get people who are like-minded, who have the same struggles, and just get them to bond, you naturally just form a cluster around startups and innovation where people can benefit each other and leverage each other to grow and drive. Then comes a lot of different initiatives that exist through, you know, initiatives like Hub 71, other initiatives that Abu Dhabi bring into life to grow the ecosystem out of here.
For those of you who are not familiar, why don't you give us a brief description of Hub 71 and tell us about how many companies that you are actively supporting in Abu Dhabi right now?
So Hub 71 is an initiative that's launched in 2019 on the back of the government's drive to create a technology ecosystem that supports the growth of startups. It's an initiative managed by Mubadala, hence my personal journey has been with Mubadala and now continues with Hub 71. And our mandate is threefold, is to place Abu Dhabi on the global tech ecosystem map. It's to build and grow globally enduring tech startups out of Abu Dhabi and capture that economic impact for Abu Dhabi. And the way we do that is by having programs and initiatives that support startups from ideation up to scale up and maturity. The way the startups access our programs is through online applications. So they would submit online, we would review them, and then down select the companies that would join our programs. And to give you just a sense of numbers, last cohort we had more than 700 applications, and we're going to select anywhere between 15 to 20 startups to join our community or our programs. So we've supported, as part of our programs, over 200 companies, Ooh. But through our space. So because we are a tech ecosystem enabler, we bring in a lot of different players that support that ecosystem. So we were WeWork's first entry into the region, and we also worked with Cloud Spaces, with who are another co-working space provider managed by Al-Dar to ADGM. And through those initiatives, we are supporting more than 400 companies that have some sort of relationship within technology. So more than 200 startups, and the rest are all players that have some sort of vested interest in the tech space.
Great. So an ecosystem of more than 400 companies, but 200 specifically. And from what I understand, the ones that actually are down selected are selected in there that meet your criteria, must be very strict criteria. But there's obviously spectacular interest from around the world, regionally and globally. But you provide up to $130,000 in credits, so office space, marketing support, licensing, accounting, legal support, all the things that startups may find more difficult to access. They're often really great engineers with a great technology idea, but may not know how to put together a business plan, and then how to make sure they're set up legally and get the funding for that they need to really progress. So you help, you take that headache out of their way, and you support them with that so they can focus on developing their product and developing their markets.
Yeah, our value proposition, yes, is backed by an incentive program that offers in-kind contributions with some of the elements you mentioned. Could be housing, health insurance, office space. We have more than 40 vetted suppliers now that, or providers that now have an offering that contributes to the SME and startup scene. So we have indirectly supported forming an ecosystem around vendors that are ready to have to support startups as SMEs. But our value proposition really manifests in curated introductions, a curated network that we act as a conduit to, through, you know, the likes of Mubadala, other Abu Dhabi institutions that allow us to channel these startups and their innovations to them. And that is the real value. It's how us partnering with you, Steve, and Masdar City, that's huge. So the value proposition, yes, the incentive program helps to support startups from a cost structure perspective, but the real value is in the access you get by putting and growing your business out of Hub 71 in Abu Dhabi.
Thank you for the shout out, of course. But no, you're absolutely right, because we have a program that actually complements yours very well called the Catalyst, where we provide office space and other support, and we also make direct equity investments into the Catalyst companies. But the real value, and this is what I tell all the companies that want to come to Masdar City is not going to buy enough of your product for you to come to set up here. But what we will do is provide you an outlet and a platform where you will have that access to those markets, access to the next round of funding, and that's what the value is. So we had events yesterday, going on right now, like Make It in the Emirates, a real focus on getting companies to come here, and particularly startups. And as you know, the startup culture and the VCs love SaaS products. So, okay, because they're so scalable, because you can do with them almost anywhere in the world. It's basically, you can be cloud-based, you can be remote, and you create your product, and it scales instantly, and fantastic. But a lot of startups are not SaaS, and particularly, I know VCs would love it if every startup was a SaaS company. I know we hear this. But particularly, this is the year of sustainability in the UAE, and COP28 is coming later. And so, I mean, I think when we founded Masdar 17 years ago, and I've been at Masdar City now for 14 years, but what I've really seen is the UAE come together both around sustainability, because when we started, we were the only ones talking about renewable energy, about reducing consumption, about recycling, about all the things that go into a sustainable future, about getting to carbon neutrality by 2050. But also, we were one of the few talking about startups and innovation. And we now have companies in the Catalyst that have come out of the original Masdar Institute labs. So work the professors have started doing 10 years ago are now commercially viable companies, which has been great to see, but the UA ecosystem has grown up around that. And so particularly in light of COP28 coming, can you talk about a couple of clean tech companies that are working at Hub 71 that you say, wow, this is a technology that could really be game changing locally and globally?
This is where we get a bit creative as a hub. Although, yes, we are relatively young compared to other tech hubs starting in 2019, we've identified a couple of competitive advantages that allows us to compete with any of the tech hubs out there. And that's just our ability to move with our key relationships, regulators, corporates, investors who are all ready to contribute to a certain sector. What that does, it creates a testbed for companies to come and set up. So let's say on climate tech, we work with the regulator, identify an anchor corporate partner and a few investors. Any company now comes and says, well, I want to access the specialized ecosystem. We're calling them Hub 71 pluses. And we're going to develop something, and we are developing something that hopefully we are planning to launch around COP28 in November. We have attracted a number of great climate tech focused companies. We have around 7 or 8 that are focused on that. A couple of ones that got good traction include ArchiReef. What ArchiReef do is that they reconstruct coral reefs and to support marine biodiversity, and especially for blue carbon capture. So it's a great way to support decarbonization, and they've had great traction. They set up with us at Hub 71, worked with a few Abu Dhabi entities, and continue to build momentum. So we're seeing those work well. And that's cool, especially the fact that ArchiReef isn't particularly SaaS, so it's kind of different.
It's hard to develop coral reefs through SaaS. It's funny how coral reefs get very physical. But anyway, as a diver, it is. I love that you're doing that. By the way, people don't know it's coming there, but we have some really impressive diving. I was actually in the water last weekend up in Musandam.
Yeah,
beautiful there. But you see how much of the coral reefs are dead. I think everybody who gets in the water anywhere, it was in COP27 in Sharm el-Sheikh and went diving there, and then you see bits of coral reef that are truly alive.
Yeah.
And as being down in there and looking at that and seeing that, and seeing what we as humans have done to that and done to the coral reefs globally, what a terrible impact that's been. So to see a company here in Abu Dhabi focused on revitalizing coral reefs. And obviously, they're not the only ones. There are a lot of companies around the world working on that. But to see one here and working, hopefully, on the coral reefs right here off the coast of Fujairah and Oman, right here where we live.
Do you feel the air is different around those venues? Is it cleaner air? Do you feel its pressure? Just perception.
I always feel the air is a bit cleaner when you're at the ocean. That doesn't happen in a dead space.
It doesn't.
That happens with life.
Yeah. No, it does. No, I wanted to compare because I do like the C2, but most of the locations I've been exposed to are by resorts and stuff. So and you feel it's more of the same. But I do feel genuinely when you go to such resorts and places where there's a lot of biodiversity, it's just a significant difference. So it's amazing for us to be supporting an initiative like ArchiReef. And you're right in saying that you do see how us as humans have, in a lot of cases, contributed, unfortunately, to, adversely contributed to some of these ecosystems. So as a hub, and as a emirate, it's great for us to contribute to restoring some of that where we can. But moving on, maybe more to SaaS because
let's a little shout out for the venture capitalists. We can't completely ignore the next round of funding because that's also been one of the of the difficulties in startups here. I think traditionally there's been a lot of family offices here. Some government investment, and some guys with some great ideas, and they come here from around the region because of the ease of doing business that's been going on for years. Also because the having no tax rates, the free zones where it's very easy to set up in, including Maslar City. Shameless plug for Maslar City, but that funding gap it has always been an issue for startups, particularly here in ways that maybe more mature ecosystems, obviously your Silicon Valleys, address that funding gap a little more. They've been doing it for longer. But I think things that, like with you bringing in Hub 71 and providing access, that there is that funding gap issue. I'm not going to say it's resolved here, because I wouldn't say it's resolved anywhere in the world, but it's definitely being addressed, and it's being mitigated in a way that it was not, that I couldn't say it was 10 years ago.
Yeah. SaaS is, but I'll give you an anecdote. Yesterday, I met an international fund, came, set up, told us about their strategies, thinking, what they're doing in Europe, and how they're focused on deep tech, and now raising like $1 billion fund that's kind of fully focused on growth around that space. And they're like, yeah, we want to access the MENA region as well, and we've allocated $1 million fund, but Ahmed, we'll be honest, we're not going to look at deep tech, we're going to be looking at SaaS. And I understand, and my reaction was, they didn't have to explain it to me, I got it. It's not because, yes, it's a great, it's a sector or theme that gets a lot of traction, it's also because the infrastructure here allows you to get more into SaaS. And we need to kind of grow a stronger journey that allows, one, universities, educational systems to invest more in deep tech type initiatives through a journey that ultimately allows companies that get into deep tech to monetize, right? That doesn't exist now. Mm-hmm. And part of my ambition and for Hub 71 is to be able to elevate a lot of what we do throughout this innovation journey to allow for deep tech to proliferate. It doesn't happen overnight. It's a marathon, not a sprint, but you do need to address the capital ecosystem here. And now what's interesting is that there is a lot of, thankfully, abundance of capital in this region. Not enough of it flows in internally. If it does, it tends to go to traditional asset classes. And I'm not talking about institutional investors, obviously. I'm talking about more kind of the quote-unquote retail investors, from angels to more VC investors.
To family offices.
Yeah. And the family offices are pretty interesting. And we did launch, as Hub 71, an initiative called Tech Berza last year. And it's an exclusive club, bringing family offices in the region and to showcase to them the opportunities here, but also offer them a specialized concierge service, because we do want to understand very clearly their agendas. And what we've noticed with family offices particularly is two things. Is either there are family offices that know the tech sector very well and tend to invest internationally, because, you know, if I'm getting the same company, you know, same time, if I know the space, I'm just gonna, you know, look at where it has been, there has been a longer track record. Or ones that don't know the space enough, so the money pours into more traditional asset classes, real estate, more traditional business, etc. So this is the journey we're going through, and this is, as when we think about this Hub 71, I'm very passionate about this as well, on the capital ecosystem. It is identifying the different initiatives and enabling programs that will allow us to unlock capital for every stage of the journey. What we've seen VCs getting into, yes, SaaS, but also more Series B to C. This is the kind of sweet spot for predominantly for the VCs. Early stage, you mentioned angel investors, very important. Family offices, by the way, can come at any stage of the journey. But angel networks, just that culture of investing small $25,000 tickets into startups does exist, but there's maybe two or three really prominent angel networks. So what we're trying to do is, we don't need to kind of just as a hub keep investing in the startups. No, it's creating just a journey where it's very seamless for anyone who's willing to get in. And once we are able to create that path, you're going to see a lot more capital pouring in. And that's the mission we're on.
Well, I see a lot of, particularly in the family offices here, a lot of the second generation coming along and saying, oh, great, we've done real estate. And look, I appreciate real estate as an asset class. I invest in real estate, and so I can't fault that. But people, the young generation comes along and says, hey, look, I use technology. I see technology. I want to make sure we're investing in technology and helping create that future. Mm-hmm. So I see a lot of that. But I want to get back to some of the tech companies, because that's, you know, a lot of our audience really is excited about, not just the ecosystem. To most of our YouTube viewers, they're uninterested in capital allocation and the funding drop. They want to hear about what technologies are coming out. Sure. So you mentioned a couple. Well, I'm going to give you a chance for one or two more now, if you have another example of things that you'd say, okay, this is a really cool company that's doing some fun things here in Abu Dhabi.
We support all companies that come through Hub 71. That's the thing. What we like to say is that we give these companies the opportunities to help themselves. There are companies that have received or have gotten more traction, and naturally, as a hub, we're focusing a bit more of our efforts to support those, because we have our internal targets of making sure we're building and we keep supporting companies that continue to show traction across revenue and funding. But just on kind of a couple of maybe on the climate tech theme, we have a great company called the Green Future Project, and what they've done on the SaaS team as well is that they've simply created a platform. Not simply, obviously, there's a lot of work that went into that, but it's effectively a matching platform, right? It could be companies, could be individuals that are looking for projects within climate tech across the world, you know, for their own ESG targets. The platform allows them to map those, identify them, work with them, and just integrate. So it's a full-on offering that supports that journey, and that is getting a lot of traction, because now people are identifying the importance of working with, for ESG mandates, more cross-cutting impact themes, and having a platform like that just makes it a lot easier. Because what organizations tend to do is like, okay, let's just build something from the ground up, and you just can't. And what sometimes happens is people just kind of, or companies just end up doing the same thing, and it just becomes a fragmented effort.
Well, I think that's really important. I mean, especially as companies here in this region and globally really are seeing the importance of sustainability. Mm-hmm. And I say people often ask me at Master, say, well, hey, there's this big new sustainable project. Is this a competitor of yours? Is it a threat to yours? I'm like, no, it's a validation that if we were still 15 years later the only company talking about sustainability, then we would have failed. If we're going to get to carbon neutrality by 2050, mm-hmm. not just of our energy systems, but of our food systems, our industrial output, that we need every company to be a sustainability company. We need every country to be a sustainability country.
That's true.
That this is not something, it's been great to see the UAE especially take a leadership position regionally. Mm-hmm. Regionally, I mean, I always have to give a shout out to the Scandinavians. Companies come to Manchester City and say, we want to be more sustainable. How can we be more sustainable? So to have a Hub 71 company that can support them in this, to me, is a fantastic initiative.
Yeah, no, definitely. And it's an important theme. And you're very right in saying, you know, how Mustar has been at the forefront of across these initiatives, even back where the price points of some of the technologies just weren't that feasible. I remember that. I was like, and obviously a couple of levels removed just working through and with Mubadala, but just looking at some of the documents, like, and it got there, right? And it got there, like, within 5 years, and it's, like, phenomenal. Like, now, all of the technology, solar, for example, right? There was a point in time where it wasn't feasible at all, and people were like, well, it's just a lot of investment of CapEx to get into it. To today, where, like, you have now, you have solar panels just at every block, effectively, here. So it's phenomenal what could happen if you just have a vision and just keep going. We're seeing it happen. Now, sustainability is important. What organizations are going through is this whole justification, or how do I make it make sense for my P&L? This can happen because especially when you're into tech, it's just effectively what you're doing is there's a problem and we're going to solve it. That's innovation. You're not going to try to squeeze it in. You're not trying to overlay just this, oh, now I have to do, like, I have these ESG standards that I have to adopt. That's not going to happen. The culture needs to exist. It's like, this is how we're thinking. And now any innovation that comes up, any startup that is coming about, just it's automatic to how they think about their business.
Yeah, absolutely. Sustainability has gone in the companies I'm talking to from, this is a cost, I can't afford it, to, this is a business opportunity.
Yeah.
I have to do it.
Definitely.
It's been a real sea change, yeah. And there, and part of it is exactly right. Is you need the right regulatory environment. You need leadership,
yeah.
And whether that is from the government, from the companies, or bottom up from the people saying we want this. But yeah. Yes, if you were on the investment committee for our first 10 megawatts of solar in Masdar City, that was not financially feasible anyway. But the Abu Dhabi government supported it and put a stake in the ground and said we want to do the largest renewable energy installation regionally. And when you look at what we're doing now, it's small. Like it's almost crazy to talk about how it was 14 years ago and it was 10 megawatts. Mm. And it was the most expensive energy on Earth. And now we're doing 2 gigawatts, so 200 times the output.
It's unbelievable.
At 1.35 cents, cheapest energy on Earth. Less than 15 years. Less than 15 years from the world's most expensive energy to the world's cheapest.
No, it's unbelievable.
And here, like, and here, done in Abu Dhabi. I think that's what would shock people, that that's a solar revolution that's been led from Abu Dhabi.
No, it's unbelievable.
By the way, you're seeing a lot of opportunities for startups in the automotive industry. Think of the two most significant electric vehicle companies. Didn't exist 20 years ago. So Tesla, which is the one everyone's heard about, but also BYD, the Chinese company, which is which was a battery company. And BYD sells more electric vehicles than any other company on Earth. Tesla's worth more than any other vehicle company on Earth. These are companies that did not make cars, but you're seeing all sorts of startups putting the technology in there, the supply chain, EV charging situations. Technology change has been crazy with that. And if you include their own autonomous driving, then you definitely look at companies that were not in the automotive space years ago. And Master City's brought two of those out. We're actively we're working on a third level of technology. But between the apps that manage your life, between the ride sharing, to move to and one obviously one of the big unicorns here in the UAE was ride hailing. So that and so there are opportunities for startups and for startups. Look, we've got a company at Mazdar City now that is working on all of the delivery scooters and making those electric. But I think the start is where most companies look at this. Okay, first I bring the technology in, I adapt the technology here, and then I grow that. They were with us at Abu Dhabi Sustainability by the week. They were called Mars Solution, so bringing electric scooters to delivery. And they're using a swappable battery, so it takes care of the range anxiety. You pull into a station, boom, swap the battery, stick a new one in. Additionally, they're looking at safety of the drivers. So helmets that are directly connected to the authorities, and also helmets that help the drivers avoid fines. They need to go as fast as they can to get there, so your food gets there hot. But also they need to avoid fines, because fines can significantly, if you're driving 10, 12 hours, you know, 10 hours a day or whatever, fines can significantly cut into your monthly monthly income. So they're looking at systems that let them know, hey, you're speeding, hey, that light's coming up, hey, be careful here. So keeping them safer, making them more money, and also cleaning up the environment, so taking the internal combustion engines off the road.
It's either integration of different platforms that allow you to manage the logistics of your journey way better, or all the data you collect about where you're kind of delivering and what are you doing about it. Just on that theme, maybe it's a slight tangent, but like on the delivery per se, I've come across companies internationally that like have fully autonomous, like small robots that now deliver from destination to destination. So there's no human intervention whatsoever. I think it applies in certain jurisdictions where perhaps the residential areas allow for that, but you're also moving in that direction.
Well, I think we're going to move from a direction where almost all deliveries are done, whether it's done with drones or whether it's done with the little robots, or done with slightly larger vehicles. We're learning. We're moving toward an environment where last mile is autonomous. And I think that that provides tremendous potential for startups because the technology is not there yet. We need technology breakthrough, and we need that ecosystem of support. I mean, I have to let them know, to the startups out there that have been waiting to hear this, when is the next round of applications for Hub 71?
It's open. Our applications never stop.
But when will we be announcing the next round of winners?
This should happen this month. So we already have selected the startups from our last selection round. Now we're going through another round. And thankfully, again, we got more than... So we doubled our applications. So we have 1,500 applications now. What we'd like to do is, because, listen, some of these applications, yes, they come, they want to explore what's Hub 71. But like I'd say a third of them are real companies that want to grow and scale out of Abu Dhabi. And what I keep talking to the team about, and because ultimately Hub 71, the ecosystem is important and will continue to be, but we are a startup in ourselves. So we think about what we offer as a product. So we keep thinking about, well, we have a product and we have an objective of bringing a lot more value and these opportunities to Abu Dhabi, how we can make sure we capture more of that. So we keep growing as a team at this, so hopefully next year we'll have something that allows us to capture more of these opportunities. But to answer your question, so we should be announcing this month the ones we select, and then we're going through the selection journey again, probably around September, October, where we're going to also announce the next batch. But in the meantime, this is what I'm telling them. Yes, we have programs, I tell all companies, yes, we have programs and offerings that support startups, but Hub 71 is a communal space. It's about entrepreneurship. You come, you brainstorm, you think about your company. And it's not only about selling meetings, etc. It's actually just the organic meetings that happen. We've set up the space in a way that allows you just to naturally interact with different players in the ecosystem, or we have events or activations all the time. So we do encourage people who are interested in setting up and to growing the business to spend as much time as they come as they can out of Hub 71, including you, Steve. Would love to see you more. I saw your team yesterday.
Well, my team, yeah. We're down at Make It in the Emirates. We were judging a clean tech startup competition there. And I think we'd say the same thing as managing Catalyst for 5 years. When we started, we were looking for clean tech startups that wanted to be part of the UAE.
Yeah.
We were actively out there looking and going, hey, please, please, please come, come see it. Now we're inundated.
Yeah.
Now we have the number of startups coming in the clean tech field that we now actually, we're much more selective. Mm-hmm. We're not quite at 1,500 in a round like you, but we're seeing so much more startup activity, yeah. Innovation activity in the clean tech sector, in the UAE, in Abu Dhabi here, that it's been such a sea change for us and so exciting for us to see, so exciting for us to be out there funding companies. We're gonna be announcing our next round too. You know, I think we've looked at the companies we've invested in and we'll be actively going through another round of funding too for a new batch of companies. And hopefully some of those will be some Hub 71 companies.
That's if we think about why we doubled, it's because of the stuff we've done together. A good part of them. I'll give you the exact numbers now when I get them. I haven't dissected the sector split of the 1,500 applications. But I bet you a good part of them are going to be climate tech and sustainability focused.
Well, so exciting. So I think we say goodbye to our audience. Thank you, Ahmed.
Thank you.
And thank you for what you're doing in general in the ecosystem of Abu Dhabi and our partnerships together. And really, this is these kind of conversations, driving this and being part of what's going on with climate change and being able to mitigate that and see that coming from the UAE has been so such an amazing journey.
Thank you, Steve. It was an honor and a pleasure to be here with you.
Thank you, Ahmed. And remember to check out Future Forward wherever you get your podcasts, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music. We're there. We're everywhere. Come find us.